And we looked at Romans 13 last week when we saw God ordains governments and rulers, and we therefore are to submit to the governing authorities, for there are none who exist that God has not placed there. We also said God also determines who rules in those governments. Again, if we did not have the Holy Scriptures, we would not conclude that God reigns supreme over the nations and over the rulers, would we? Because when we look at the news, it looks to us like everything but God is in control and God is sovereign. When you see the Islamic extremist burning that Jordanian pilot, you think, what's going on? What wickedness? And so we didn't have the scriptures to assure us that our God is in control. We might conclude, surely he cannot be. But the truth is, he is. And we looked at Daniel, and we saw that Nebuchadnezzar, how God humbled him. And then once he was humbled, God restored his sanity to him and then again placed him in the position of rulership. Isaiah 40 is another passage that speaks to this truth. He it is who reduces rulers to nothing, who makes the judges of the earth meaningless. Scarcely have they been planted, scarcely have they been sown. Scarcely has their stock taken root in the earth, but he merely blows on them and they wither. And the storm carries them away like stubble. A clear teaching of Scripture about God's sovereignty over the rulers. He can simply remove them as he desires to do so. And that brings us to our passage today in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. And take your Bibles and turn over to 2 Chronicles chapter 26. We're going to look at Uzziah, and we're going to see this truth of God's sovereignty as it displays itself in his life. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Now, when you think of King Uzziah, what comes to mind? Anything? In the year, amen, in the year of his death is when Isaiah saw that vision in the heaven in Isaiah chapter 6. It was the year of King Uzziah's death. Thank you, Homer. So that's what I remember him for. But this passage of Scripture will teach us more about him. And again, what we have in Scripture is we have God's record of history. And history is his story. And when you're reading through the Old Testament, there are times that the writer will kind of pull back from the scene or the action and he will give you an editorial comment. He is helping us to see the hand of God in a situation that we might not see it in if we had simply been observing the historical facts. So it contains his interpretation, which is the inspired by the Spirit. And so when you're reading through the Old Testament in particular, make note when the writer pauses to give you an editorial comment about something going on. And this helps you and me to see behind the scenes to what our God is doing. Chapter 26, verse 1. 2 Chronicles. And all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the place of his father, Amaziah. he built Eloth and restored it to Judah after the king slept with his fathers. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. He did right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. He continued to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding through the vision of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. So here we have the writer letting us know that any prosperity that came upon King Uzziah during his reign was because the Lord was favoring him because he was seeking to walk in the ways of the Lord. Now let's see some of these successes. Now he went out and warred against the Philistines and broke down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jabneth and the wall of Ashdod. And he built cities in the area of Ashdod and among the Philistines. And God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians who lived in Gerbaal and the Mennonites. And the Ammonites also gave tribute to Uzziah. And his fame extended to the border of Egypt. And he became very strong. Now, who was giving him this power and this success? God was. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate, at the valley gate, and at the corner buttress, and fortified them. So he's building up the city of Jerusalem, its walls. He built towers in the wilderness and hewed many cisterns. And he had much livestock, both in the lowland and in the plain. He also had plowmen and vine dressers in the hill country and the fertile fields, for he loved the soil. Moreover, Uzziah had an army ready for battle, which entered combat by divisions according to the number of their muster, prepared by Jeiel, the scribe, and Maaseiah, the official, under the direction of Hananiah, one of the king's officers. And the total number of the heads of the households of the valiant warriors was 2,600. Under their direction was an elite army of 307,500 who could wage war with great power to help the king against the enemy. Moreover, Uzziah prepared for all the army shields and spears and helmets and body armor and bows and sling stones in Jerusalem. He made engines of war invented by skillful men to be on the towers and on the corners for the purpose of shooting arrows and great stones. Hence his fame spread afar, for he was marvelously helped until he was strong. Now, who was the one that was giving him this help? God. Verse 16. But. When he became strong, his heart was so proud that he acted corruptly, and he was unfaithful to the Lord his God, for he entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Then Azariah the priest entered after him, with him 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men. And they opposed Uzziah, the king, and said to him, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priest, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have been unfaithful and will have no honor from the Lord God." Now he becomes proud in his heart because of all the success God has given him. And he becomes so proud that he decides he's going to go into the temple and offer the incense. Now, what was wrong with that? I mean, he was the king after all. Well, what was wrong with it is that God had ordained that the priest be the ones that offered the incense, not the king. In Jerusalem, in Israel, in ancient times, you had three main offices, priest, prophet, and king. God had designated functions for each one. Because God is a God of order. God determines how He will be served and what those serving Him will do. And He had determined that the king had a certain position and place that he had in society, and the priest had theirs. And for Uzziah to usurp God's order was for him to rebel against God. And it's the key you have is that proud heart. His heart was so proud, he said, I can do anything. I'm a famous king. I've had many victories. I've got a mighty elite army. I have mighty war machine behind me. I can do what I want. I will go in to the temple. I'll take the place of the priest. I can do it as well as they can do it, probably better. Well, the priest, Azariah, and 80 others stopped him. They said, no, don't do it. You're being unfaithful to the Lord. Verse 19. But Uzziah, with a censer in his hand for burning incense, was enraged. You know one way you can tell your pride's gotten stepped on? When you get enraged. You think about the things that make you angry, and most of them will be because somebody has stepped on your pride. You either felt you've been disrespected or treated unfairly, but it's your pride that has been stepped on, and our reaction is anger. He gets enraged. What do you mean stopping me? Don't you know who I am? I'm the king. He was enraged. And while he was enraged with the priest, the leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord, besides the altar of incense. God struck him with leprosy, the most dreaded disease of that day. It would probably be comparable to AIDS in our day. And we would say that God struck him with AIDS. He was declared unclean. He would immediately have to be ushered out of the temple. But God did not take lightly this disregard for His order, did He? You see, any time we think our ways are better than God's ways, we are treating Him with disrespect and dishonor, and we're not treating Him as holy. You remember when Aaron's two sons, Abihu and Amram, offered strange fire to the Lord? You know what He did to them? He turned the fire on them and burned them up. Why? Because it was not their place to offer that. It was Aaron's place. They had usurped God's order and put themselves in the place of it. And God's words to Moses was, I shall be treated holy by my people. You say, well, what does that have to do with holiness? Well, holiness means God's total otherness. He is the Creator. There's nothing, no one, no thing like Him. All else are created creatures. He is the Creator. That means He is holy. Not only pure, we usually think of holiness as pure, but it means primarily separate, otherness. And when we do not follow God's word, and we put our word above His word, we're not treating Him as the ultimate Creator. We're treating Him like we treat anybody else we didn't want to do what they said, right? That we think our way is as good as their way or better than their way. And so when the sons of Aaron took it upon themselves to go outside of what God said to do and do it their way, they were not treating God as ultimately otherness, His absolute superiority and supreme being. They were treating Him like they would treat an ordinary person. And so that's why God said, I'll be treated as holy. So whenever we ignore God's order, we are treating God as ordinary, and we are ignoring His order and His word that He set up. Now, we don't see that happen in our day with kings and priests. But what we do see it happen in our day is in the church, men and women in leadership. Now, God has ordained men to be leaders in the church and in the home. He set it up. When He created Adam first, He put him in the place of leadership. Just His order. It's the way He set it up. And in the church, He has ordained that men be the pastors and the deacons and the elders. There's a very important place for women in the church, but not in leadership. Now, when a church takes it upon themselves to ignore God's clear teaching because of what society says or what society is doing, they are treating God as ordinary. They're thinking their ways are as good as His ways. Now, it doesn't have anything to do with ability, right? I mean, Uzziah had the ability to go in and offer incense. He might well could have done it better than some of the priests. So it doesn't have anything to do with ability. It doesn't have anything to do with importance. I mean, he was the king. You couldn't get any more important than that. It all had to do with God's ordained order, the way God says He is to be worshipped and the way He is to be followed. And so, when God says through Paul, I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man, it's not for us to change it. It's for us to honor our Lord, right? Honor Him in what He said. It's not a matter of ability, but it's a matter of following God's way, accepting God knows what's best. See, the danger is the church takes its clues and its cue from society rather than from the Bible. And what you see in churches is they are looking to society to see what the role of men and women are, and so then they just bring it over to the church. Say, well, we need to do the same thing. We can't be different than society. Right? People get upset. The church has got to be the support and pillar of the truth. And we have got to walk according to God's teaching, not according to the teachings of our society. And it's easy for God's people to take its cue from society. You remember when they stole the Ark of the Covenant? You remember that? The Israelites took it out in the battle thinking, okay, God won't let us get beat. If we take the ark, man, he's going to protect us. Well, God showed him, and the Philistines took it. Well, you remember when the Philistines took it, brought it back, they put it on a cart. You remember that? And they had some milch cows bringing it back, right? Well, you remember several years later, close to 100 years later, David decided he wanted to bring the ark up into Jerusalem. You remember that? All right, so what does he do? He gets a cart. He puts it on a cart. He starts bringing it up. Now, why did he put it on a cart? The scriptures clearly teach it's to be carried on poles that had rings on every corner. A pole was put through, and it was to be carried by the priest and the Levites on those poles. Well, then why did David put it on a cart? Because that's the way the Philistines brought it back. He was just following them. See the danger when the church follows the world and doesn't take time to see what God says? Well, you know what happened? Uzzah reached up to touch it. God struck him dead. David said, wait a minute, something's going on here. We need to find out. So now he goes back to the Word. And the Word, he clearly sees that he's supposed to bring it up on poles, men carrying it, not on an ox cart. So it took that tragedy to get him back to the Word. And I see churches doing the same thing. Rather than going back to the Word and seeing what God says we need to be doing and how we need to be doing it, we just take our cue from what the world's doing. We just accept it. We are part of our society, and we just, if we're not careful, we just bring it right into the church and think, that's, well, it's all right for there. It must be all right here. And even you look at other churches that are doing it, and you think, well, they do it. Well, Fred, we're to follow the Lord and only Him. Now we're back to our story. Verse 20. Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked at him, that is, at King Uzziah, who had leprosy. And behold, he was leprous on his forehead. And they hurried him out of there, and he himself also hastened to get out, because the Lord had smitten him. King Uzziah was a leper to the day of his death. And he lived in a separate house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. God removed him when he became proud in his heart. God had blessed him, but he let that blessing and prosperity go to his head, as we say. He became proud, and in so doing, disobeyed God, and God just snatched it right back away from him. Just like Isaiah said, he just blows and there they go. And he wasn't able. His son had to take over and reign in his place in his last years because he had leprosy and he couldn't be out in public. He was ostracized. So God raises up, God puts down. Again, if we didn't have the scriptures, we would have a hard time seeing God's sovereign hand in our world situations. But we do have the scriptures. And God is sovereign. We may not understand, and many times we do not. But we must trust and rest that He is at work carrying out His plan, His redemptive plan for His people. And no events of the world, no matter how out of sorts they seem to be, are outside of His sovereign control. All right, Paul, come and lead us in our prayer time.